John 4, verse 3, beginning. Speaking of Jesus, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Judea is in the southern part of Israel. Galilee is in the north. That was the homeland of Jesus up in the area of Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, there are several ways to go from Judea to Galilee. But in this passage, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight from the subject, appointment with deity. All of us in our lives have had appointments. You've had doctor's appointments. You've had appointments to get your oil changed. We all operate by appointment. I've got a real handy little feature on my Palm Pilot. I can set myself an alarm and it goes 10 minutes before my appointment. And sometimes I will get involved in the events of the day and I'll forget that I've got an appointment. But 10 minutes before it's time, that little thing starts ding, ding, ding. And sometimes I've actually got to look at it to see where I'm supposed to be in 10 minutes. But it's a handy little gadget. It has saved me embarrassment many times. It's caused me not to miss important appointments many times. However, you'll never have a more important appointment in your life than when you've got an appointment with destiny. Now, the interesting thing about an appointment with destiny is that many people have them, but they don't know it. I am convinced that God brought some people to this church this night by divine appointment. As I was praying this afternoon, God spoke to me so clearly to preach this message to someone who would be in this service tonight. Do you notice the passage? I'm sure you know the story. In case you don't, however, Jesus was going to the well of Jacob. That was a good stopping place. It was a place where you could get fresh water. Israel is a hot land. As a matter of fact, when we travel in Israel each year, we advise people carry a bottle of water with you. Because it is so hot, it is so dry, it does not rain from about February or March all the way to the next November. And it gets very dry. You can dehydrate so quickly. Jacob's well was a place where there was always water. It was a place to stop. However, that morning when Jesus was planning his route to the northern part of Israel, the Galilee, he said to his disciples, I've got to go through Samaria. He didn't tell them why. But he knew in himself he had an appointment. Now, there was a little lady that got up that morning. Her life wasn't going too well. She had had a lot of disappointment. The Bible says she had been married 5 times. And the last marriage broke up. And the one with which she was living now was not her husband. She was now shacking up with some guy. Didn't even have the nerve to marry again, so she figured that one wouldn't work out in here. And so here is a woman, no security, no future, living day to day, trying to find satisfaction, yearning for something she knew not what. But there was water to draw, and there was a family to take care of. And so she leaves the house that morning, puts the pitcher of water, as they do in the Middle East, on her head. And she went walking the walk down toward Jacob's well, where the ladies came to draw. Now, some people say that this is not the normal time for women to draw water, but because of her immorality and her bad reputation in the community, she was coming at that time to avoid the gossip and the dirty looks of the other women in the community. She just was not very well received, and she was looked down upon. However, when she walked out of her house that day with that pitcher of water upon her head, and she headed toward Jacob's well, she probably had no idea that she had an appointment with deity. She probably did not have a clue that she would meet God face to face in about 30 minutes. But deity knew it. Jesus knew it because he felt her first drawing him all the way down in Jerusalem. He said, I've got to go to Samaria today. I feel someone crying out in their heart to me. I feel the effects of hot tears on a pillow last night. Someone saying, God, isn't there more to life than this? God, is there any way you can help me? I've made such a horrible mess of my life, and here I am in this terrible situation. And Jesus felt the call of that woman's spirit as he stepped, step after step, toward Jacob's well in Samaria. The Bible says that when Jesus arrived, you know, isn't it great? He got there first. He wasn't late. When he arrived, there he sat down on the well to rest. And his disciples, he sent to town to buy something to eat. And Jesus is sitting there. And here comes this little lady, oblivious to what's going on. But she walks up to the well and she sees a lone Jewish man sitting at the well. She planned to not speak to him because in those days, Jews did not speak to Samaritans. Samaritans were second class. And the Jews did not speak to the Samaritans. So she was a little bit shocked when this Jewish man named Jesus said to her, woman, give me a drink. She said, sure. But how is it that you're a Jew and you're talking to me? I don't understand this. You're supposed to be aloof. You're supposed to think you're better than me. And I don't understand why you're talking to me. And Jesus said, woman, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask of him and he would give you water that you would never thirst again. She said, you don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. I don't see how you could possibly give me to drink. And he said, woman, the water that I shall give shall be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And there was just something about the power with which Jesus said those words that caused her to cry out. And she said, sir. She sensed that he was talking about what she had been looking for all of her life as she went from one husband to the other, to the other, to the other. She said, sir, give me evermore of this water. That's what I need. Jesus said, well, we need to work on your life, straighten it out just a little bit. Repentance becomes before the filling info of the Holy Ghost. Go call your husband. She said, did you have to bring that up? I don't have one. Jesus said, yes. You've had five. The one you're living with now is not yours. And all of a sudden, she began to suspect that she was dealing with more than just a man now. She said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." And I've got some religious questions that I've been hearing everyone argue about, and nobody had given me a satisfactory answer. Should we worship here in this mountain of Samaria, or should we worship down in Jerusalem? That was the big question of the day, because there were two nations, Israel and Judah. And Judah's capital was Jerusalem, but the capital of Israel was Samaria up in the north, where Jesus was at the time. She said, "Everybody's telling us we really should worship in Jerusalem." Other people said, no, you should worship in Samaria. And the king of that day had actually built a duplicate temple in the mountain of Samaria so that people could go there to worship. And that was her hang-up. Of all the hang-ups she should not have had with the mess her life was in, it was that one. But she thought where you worship was the critical issue. That places and holy places, it's just like right now, the Middle East is all messed up over holy places. And Jesus said, "Woman, the time shall come, and now has arrived, that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." It don't matter whether it's Samaria or Jerusalem, as long as you're in spirit and truth. And then she said to him, "Got another question for you. Messiah. They tell us when my Messiah comes, he shall tell us all things. He'll have the answers to everything." And Jesus said, "He that speaks unto you is he." She said, "Don't move. You stay right there." And she headed to town to tell everybody. And when she got back, she had a whole crowd. I mean, she had been out telling the truth about Messiah. Now, you know, the next time that those people that she brought out said to her, "We don't believe because you told us. We believe because we've had our own appointment with destiny, with deity now." If you'll go over to the book of Acts, chapter number 10, you'll find there a 5,000 soul revival. I am absolutely convinced that that little woman at that well, that Jesus planted that revival that day, and through her appointment with deity, she had shared the good news until finally that mighty revival broke out under the ministry of Philip. Now, what am I telling you here tonight? I'm telling you that that woman, when she left her house, didn't have a clue. And some of you walked in this church tonight not knowing that God was going to call you to a crossroads in your life and that you were going to meet God face to face. But I'm here to tell you that that's exactly what God had in mind. He said, "I got to go by 1920 Chester Boulevard this evening. I must be there tonight because I've already got it prearranged." What God was already doing. Now, there are many stories in the Bible like this. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, but he got it by crooked dealings. And you know, no matter how much money you got, if your heart's not right, you're still not happy. And Zacchaeus kept hearing about this Jesus. Nobody spoke like him. His words were gracious. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. And Zacchaeus was down in Jericho. And he heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho. But he had a problem. You know, there's always something that will keep us from our appointment with deity. If you let it. His problem was, he was just a short guy. And the crowd was going to be big, and there was going to be big, tall guys like Brother Kyle, and he wasn't going to be able to see Jesus. But you know, when you get desperate enough to see him, you won't let the obstacle stop you. When one person makes an excuse, another person finds a way to get there. And Zacchaeus, I suppose he was a tax collector. He probably wore sort of dress-up clothes, I guess. But he was so desperate to see Jesus. He sees this big crowd coming. He says, oh no, it's not going to work. And he looks over at this big sycamore tree that is still standing there. They claim it's the same one. I don't know what it is. No, the guide says that's the one. We go by it every year. We go down through the heart of Jericho, there it stands. And Zacchaeus climbed up that tree. I don't know, he may have had his white shirt and tie on. I had no idea. But you know, he didn't care. Because his hunger for God overrode his pride and his embarrassment. I ain't telling you, if you're hungry enough for God, you're going to leave here with him tonight. Say, but I don't know very many people here. So what? I'm not talking about who you know. I'm talking about your hunger for God. I'm talking about you've got an appointment with deities that are seated. I am persuaded that as I'm standing on this platform tonight, I am persuaded that someone walked in those doors tonight because Almighty God drew you by His Spirit and said, I'm going to meet you at 1920 Chester Boulevard this evening. And here old Zach is a business. I'm not supposed to be climbing. Sherry told me I couldn't do it. So here I am. I'm going to try this again. Zacchaeus climbed up there in that tree. And here they come along. Come walking along. In fact, I got a better idea. Vince, get up there. You're going to be Zacchaeus for a minute. Get up there on that. Yeah, that's just fine. Now, Jesus is walking along here with the multitude. There's old Zacchaeus up there in that tree. And Jesus, he's walking along teaching. And Zacchaeus is smuggling. He's getting engrossed. He's straining to hear. He's hanging on to those limbs. He's trying to hear. And he's looking for that first one. So here he comes. All of a sudden, he realizes that guy right there is the center. And he hones in. And he's engrossed. And so Jesus comes walking right along the road where that sycamore tree was and comes walking along there. And Jesus is just teaching and talking to people and helping people. And Zacchaeus, he's up there. He's enthralled. He's listening. Nobody's paying attention to him because everybody's paying attention to Jesus. And as Jesus is walking along, he stops dead center below where Zacchaeus is. And Zacchaeus' heart's in his throat by now. And all of a sudden, Jesus turned and said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going home with you today. For you also are a son of Abraham. And when Zacchaeus comes down, he comes down trying to get his heart right. Let me tell you, you get in God's presence. You're trying to get your heart right. I mean, if somebody's got to beat repentance out of you, you're not ready yet. But when Zacchaeus came down that tree, he said, Lord, I'm going to sell half of what I have and give to the poor. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. And I mean, he's repenting. And Jesus said, this day, has salvation come to your house. I am absolutely convinced there's somebody sitting in this building right now that Almighty God saw you when you were up in that sycamore tree. And he's been planning on his appointment with you in this service tonight. Got one more to tell you about. Saul of Tarsus messed up religiously. But he doesn't know he's messed up. He persecuted all those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he has gone to the trouble to get official court orders to bind and afflict and kill those who have an allegiance to Jesus Christ. And he not only is doing it in Jerusalem, but now we find him leading out to the Damascus gate of the city of Jerusalem and heading toward Damascus, Syria, some 40, well, no, actually much further than that, 100 and some miles away. And as he walks along the road, revving up the passions of those with him, saying what he's going to do. The Bible says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against those of this way. It was the last thing in his mind that he had an appointment with deity that day. Almighty God on his throne happens. He looks down and he sees old Saul walking along there screaming his head off. But he liked his zeal. And he knew he did it from ignorance. And so he watched him. He watched him. Now, I probably should wind the tape back just a little bit to tell you a little bit more of the story. It was Saul that held the coats of those that stoned Stephen, the first martyr. And when they stoned Stephen, his face shone like an angel. And he looked up into heaven and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. His face shone like an angel. And that bugged Saul. Every night he'd go to bed, he'd see that glowing face in the dark. And he'd hear those words, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. And it was working on him. It was working on him. And I don't have any way to prove this, but I do wonder if Saul hadn't said to God a few times, Lord, I believe I'm doing the right thing, but if I'm not, would you please show me? There had to be some sincerity there, or else God would never have saved him. And so here, Saul is, he's walking down this road, and Almighty God's watching him. And he says to himself, oh, this is your day. And when Saul got right to the right spot, walk along, all of a sudden God flips the switch on. The Bible says a light brighter than the noonday sun smacked him right in the forehead, knocked him to the ground, and God says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now that's an appointment. And Saul of Tarsus looked up and said, who are you? I thought I was working for God. You're obviously God. But I don't know who you are. There's a lot of people working for God and they don't even know who he is. But isn't it so wonderful that we know who he is because God said, I am Jesus. Whom thou persecutest. If you got any question as to whether Jesus is God or not, just check with Saul of Tarsus. Check it out, chapter 9. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And in his confusion, Saul realized this is the greatest crossroad I've ever had with deity. I've been schooled as a Pharisee all my life. I've excelled in my religion. I made top grades in theological school. But this is my first appointment with deity. And he said, let me tell you what you should say when you ever have your appointment. Some of you are having it tonight. He looked up and said, what will you have me to do? Don't fight it. Don't argue. Just remember who's God and who's the earthling. What will you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go to a street called Straight, because I got a preacher on the other side of town. And he's praying. He's got a message for you and he'll show up. And they led Saul of Tarsus by the hand. He couldn't see. And Saul gets down there and he starts praying. He spent the next 3 days. You know, a 3-day prayer meeting would do a lot of folks a lot of good. He spent 3 days getting his thinking unscrambled, getting his opinions changed, repenting, getting his value system all rearranged. Across town is a man by the name of Ananias, and he's on his knees praying. And he says, he's down praying. The Lord said, got a message for you. And I said, you see that door right there? You see that bar across that door? See those nails in that door? I'm not going no place, God. This Saul of Tarsus guy's coming to town. We've already got our slouch. They already give us the report. He's on his way here. He has papers to find afflict preachers like me. Well, that's who I want you to pray for. I got him over here at a house on the street called Straight. I want you to go over there and pray for him. They might receive his sight and receive the Holy Ghost. And I said, I can't do that. God said, Ananias, he's praying. I've done been there. I've already been there in advance. And I said, well, if he's praying, that's a whole different story. And he takes the bar off the thing, and he gets his crowbar and pries his door open. And here he goes over the street called straight. I've been there in the mattress. I've been to the street called straight in the mattress. It's a real place. He goes over there to the street called straight. And sure enough, guess who's there? Saul of Tarsus. Now, watch this. You got God there. You got Saul of Tarsus there. And you got Ananias there. You talk about a meeting. You talk about divine appointment. Listen to his prayer. Ananias walks in and says, Brother Saul. He's not born again yet, but he's calling him Brother by faith. He says, Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus. Oh, here God confirming his word to Saul. Here a preacher is preaching to him what God just told him. The Lord, how many knows, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And him only shalt thou serve. The Lord, even Jesus. If you're wondering who the Lord is, that's your answer. The Lord, even Jesus, that hath appeared unto thee in the way, hath appeared unto me also, and sent me here to lay hands on you, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he laid hands on him, and his blindness that has stayed with him for the last 3 days fell aside, and he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. And Saul became Paul. It was never the same after that day. I'm telling you, the same God that did that 2,000 years ago is right here with us in this sanctuary tonight, and he'll touch you this evening just like he touched Saul of Tarsus. I want to conclude with this as the musicians come. I'll never forget the night I received the Holy Ghost. I was a young boy of 13 years of age. I've been raised in church since I've been born. I had never yet received the Holy Ghost. It was as foreign to me as it is to you right now. I had tried to receive it and had not received it. Most of that was because I didn't have anyone to guide me. But we had a revival. My faith rose. Brother Chester Hensley was preaching for us in that revival. I believe it was the third night of the revival. I cannot tell you how. In our church, we had a middle section. It was down at the 8th Street Church. Back in those days, we had a middle section, two outside sections. And I was sitting over here in this outside section about probably 5 rows back. Maybe about where Brother John is, where the hole is. And I was a 13-year-old kid, and sometimes I cut up in church, and I shouldn't even tell you this, but it did happen a few times. But I wasn't cutting up that night. All through the song service, the tears kept wanting to roll down my cheeks. And I can't tell you how I knew it, but I knew I was going to get the Holy Ghost that night. I'll never forget it. I'm 13, 45 years ago, but I still remember it. I knew that I had an appointment that night with the deity. I sit there, but the Hensley got up to preach, and he said, I'm preaching on receiving the Holy Ghost tonight. All of you that want to receive the Holy Ghost, come up here and sit on the front. My memory serves me right. There was probably 10 or 15 of us came up here in the front. We lined this whole front. We were there to receive the Holy Ghost. And as Brother Hensley preached, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what he said. I just wanted so bad to get done. I was sure I had an appointment that night. I was sure of it. Finally, he finished. Didn't preach long, but it seemed long to me. He said, now, if you want the Holy Ghost, I want you all to stand up. Gave us a few instructions. I want you to begin to praise the Lord. And I'll never forget, I stood up trying to remember. There was a middle section here, and I was sitting in the middle section. I believe I was right down here on the end of the middle section. And he had prayed for several people, and I had heard them announce over the speaker that several people, maybe three or four, had already received the Holy Ghost that night. And he came down to where I was, and already, it's like my lips wanted to go like this, and my tongue wanted to go like this, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't want anything that wasn't real and true. And so I didn't know what to do about it. And by the time Brother Henry got to me, he saw that the Holy Ghost was heavy upon me that night. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, you can't speak two languages at the same time. The Holy Ghost is on you. You got to obey that. Don't worry about your English. You've been speaking all your life." I was so hungry. I just said, he said, "Now I'm going to pray for you again. When I do, you just lift your hands and obey God." And when he prayed for me, I threw my hands in the air. And all of a sudden, God was just right there. And I just decided, I didn't care how I sounded. And I just started busting. And it just started pouring out of me. I just started speaking what came on me. I just relaxed and just obeyed what was on me. I forgot my own ways and just adopted God's way. And I became so absorbed in that moment that, to tell you the truth, I didn't know I was receiving the Holy Ghost. And I was so alone. I was with one accord in one place with God. And I sort of forgot everybody else, even Brother Hensley. I forgot all that because I wanted him so bad. And as I was talking to him, I didn't even know I'd received the Holy Ghost until someone stuck a microphone in my face. And I heard someone speaking in tongues over the PA. And I remember thinking, "Oh, somebody's getting the Holy Ghost. I can even speak in tongues." And then all of a sudden, I realized that was me. And I've never been the same from that day to this. It was my divine appointment. There's somebody here right now. Your divine appointment has arrived. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost here tonight. He wants to change your life forever here tonight. I'd like for you to walk down this aisle. Just come and stand right here across this altar. As everybody in the building stands, don't argue with God. Don't let the devil cheat you.